I am going to attempt to do a couple things this morning as we close. And this is not a warm down. This is a sprint to the finish. Three things I hope will happen here in the time that we have left. One is I hope to bring synthesis to all that we've heard and to summarize to some degree what we've heard, to bring synthesis and to summarize what we've heard and to bring a little review and to hit the mountain peaks. You know, amidst all the beauty of bats and hooks in ears and things like that, to bring us back to what were some of the high points. And so I'd encourage you to, you know, rev your pen up and get ready, because we are going to be brisk in moving through that. And then we'll pause. And I want to give a message of sending us out as people transformed by God who are being sent into a world that desperately needs us. So in way of synthesis, we started out on Thursday night hearing from a beautiful and articulate woman and her husband, who helped us think about our own transformation, looking in the mirror and answering the question of Jesus's, what can I do for you? What would you have me do for you? Then we soaked in the great truth in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 that God is making us mirrors that will brightly reflect Him in His glory. That next morning, Dan then reminded us in his first message that faith and trust doesn't just mean trusting God with the pleasant and the comfortable things in our lives, but also embracing what he called death and the pain that's in our stories as coming from God who rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You know, he brought us to Hebrews 11, and we looked at, you know, at least briefly, looked at those stories of faith. And I don't know if you ever just looked at that, and I'd write that down sometime, go back to Hebrews 11, and see that all those stories of faith had pain and challenge that led to life and resurrection. We looked at Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. The stories of our death and pain, Dan told us, do two things. They're used by God to make us more like Jesus, and they allow us to share in the sufferings of Christ and to experience resurrection life. Well, then that next night, Dan taught us about biblical hope, which is more than optimism. Hope, the anticipation of things we deeply desire that can only happen through the redeeming work and power of Christ. Hope. And he mentioned four points in that one, and I don't know that all of us caught them. They're powerful points. These four stages are parts of every redemptive story. So important for us to remember, and does give us hope. Innocence, tragedy, imagination. And what he meant by that is how we creatively come up with our own way out of the tragedy. And then finally, resolution or rest. I fell asleep in most of my English classes, but denouement. So we might think of Abraham and Sarah, who in their innocence listened to God's call and went to this new place. Innocent. God's called us. Something good is going to happen. Tragedy. Barrenness. Long waiting. Imagination. Ah, Hagar. And all the consequences of that. And finally, resolution. God rescuing Isaac. And just like Dan mentioned, stories build on stories, don't they? So you got Isaac, and then all of a sudden tragedy again, because take Isaac to the mountain, Abraham. And there's a knife and an altar. But resolution again, because there was also a ram. Then Dan on love yesterday, when we see ourselves as the worst of sinners, adulterers and murderers, we experience God's incredible love in full. God loves us as prodigals. He loves us with a father's love. You know, in 1 John 4 tells us that the only reason that we can possibly love with God's love is because we have experienced His love first. And then last night, Mike brought us the compelling vision, which is at the core of who we are as navigators. Generations of workers being sent out, generations of Brian Taylors and Terry Simics and Esmeralda, was it? Generations of workers, of kingdom workers next door to everywhere. So this morning, I want to ask us, as we get sent out from here, so what does all that mean for us as we leave this place? What does it mean for us as we go out into our lives and into this world? And for a second, think about the people that are living next door to you, the people that you recreate with, the people that you work with. What does what we've had to hear mean for us as we leave this place? And so we started the weekend in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I thought it'd be pretty appropriate that we move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're going to start 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Grab your Bibles and turn there as I pray. Father, we thank you for all you've said. Our minds and our hearts are full, and we have so much to process with you in the days and months and years ahead. So we ask you, by your Holy Spirit, to continue to drive these truths deep into our hearts. And right now, we ask, Lord, that you would speak by your word. And not only give us hope for ourselves, but give us hope for those that we know that will be influenced by you through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. You know, we just got done with Christmas, didn't we? I mean, it doesn't seem that long ago. And certainly when I was paying off our Visa bill just a couple weeks ago, I remembered Christmas yet again. And probably at one of our Christmas services, or the weeks working up to Christmas, and we heard it at one of the Sundays at church, we heard this promise, this prophecy out of Isaiah 9:2 that said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that light is Jesus." And so we heard about light that entered the world, the grace and the power of God communicated in that passage and in the one we're going to look at. The grace and power of God communicated as life, communicated as a person that changes everything. And so in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 7, let's read there, and we're going to learn what it means, what God means to do through His people who are being transformed. Starting there in verse 1. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret way and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts, that we might, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We've got some jars up here. Somebody suggested in this thing, you know, it talks about cracked pots that you know, I should, you know, take a hammer to it and break it. But some of these pots are my wife's. I don't think that I'm going to crack her pots. So, God's purposes through our lives. How has all we've heard this weekend get funneled into what we're going to do tomorrow in the next day? Four principles from Paul on God's purposes through transformed kingdom citizens. Four principles from Paul on God's purposes through his transformed kingdom citizens. Principle number one, we are broken ambassadors. Verse 1 says, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. Our ministry, our influence for the kingdom is not of ourselves. Any influence and ministry that we have comes by God's mercy. So we see that in brokenness, we admit that it's only by his mercy that we are useful. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's not our competency. It's not our gifts. It's not our education. It's not our experience. It's not our successes. It's not any merit or award or position that we've received that makes us most useful to God. It is being people who are dependent on God's mercy and his grace that he will empower and use us. So principle one, we are broken ambassadors. The second principle from Paul on God's purposes through transformed kingdom citizens is a blind world. Verse 4 there says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. A battle still rages. We live among people who are blind and unable to find their way. You know, just the last several months, Pam and I, through interaction with friends we have all over the country, and you know, have heard of deep, deep marital challenges, of people whose kids are desperate and having such a hard time finding their way forward, of other marriages that have been impacted by marital affairs, of emptiness, loneliness, of our friends that cause them in their emptiness to want to find life in all the wrong places. a blind world. You know, and it's not enough that these people are going through incredible, soul-wrenching, life-altering difficulties. What's more, is they're blind. They're blind and can't find their way forward. Sit in that for a second. Not just a desperate world, but a desperate world that is blind. There's hope. The third principle, as we consider God's purposes through transformed kingdom citizens, bond servants. One of God's answers for a blind world, bond servants. It's interesting that he doesn't say here, and this is not a knock, I like apologetics, but it doesn't say an apologist is the answer. Bond servant. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. That word servants is the word doulos, which technically means slave. Actually, in Exodus, it tells about who this slave was, what this bond servant was. Because at the end of 6 years of a slave's life in Israel, they had the opportunity to go free. They also had the option to sign on with their master for life. And there was actually a ceremony that they would take that slave after 6 years would make that decision. And say, I want to serve you, my master. And they would take him to the doorpost of the home and drive a wooden awl through their ear. I don't think they'd leave him sitting there, by the way. But they'd drive that awl through the ear as a symbol that this servant was bound to his master for life. And how desperate our world is for people who will be slaves to Christ and servants to the people that are around them. Transformed people are increasingly moving from a me-centered existence to a God-centered and other-centered existence. They're increasingly servants of God and servants of the people around them. In fact, it seems that the primary means by which a watching world can tell the difference in our lives is to see us serve. So principle three, bond servants. Finally, the fourth principle that we see on God's purposes for kingdom transformed citizens is that we are beacons of light. I like how this verse 6 and 7 here is rendered in the message. Listen to these words. Listen to these words of who we are. It started when God said, light up the darkness. And our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives, and that's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. God's light is resident in us. Cracked pots, Dan referred, the worst of sinners. Yet not only did Jesus come to this earth that we celebrated at Christmas, light not only came to the world, but what an amazing truth that God in his wisdom and in his power decided that not only would he reside in this world, but he would reside in us. Amazing. Not a group of people that have it together. Not a group of people who have reached a certain position and a certain spirituality and a certain this and that. But a group of people who are broken, shattered, so that the light of God can shine through our lives and impact other people. A miracle. What a miracle that God would do that. What a mystery that God would choose not only to come into this dirty, blind world, but he'd come into us to shine through us. I want to tell you, I'm just going to tell you one story this morning of God using broken ambassadors. Now, that's a picture of Pam and I. Okay? And that's a picture of us early on in our ministry career. We were working with students, actually at that point we were working with high schoolers and junior hires. Wouldn't you want to entrust your high schoolers and junior hires to that couple right there? Man, what confidence that exudes. Stories of broken and bad. I need to get that off the screen. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Stories of broken ambassadors. About a year ago, and over a number of years, actually, Pam had been meeting with a young woman that she had met through one of the programs at our church. And we'll call her name Megan. And they had really struck up a neat relationship, and God opened up a number of different doors through a couple years for us to really move into their lives and meet with them and help them and even to help them at some pretty desperate times. And they were struggling with finances, they were struggling in a number of different ways, and God just opened that up as a gift for us to be able to walk with them. And then along the way, I decided that the guy's name, it was Megan, her husband's name was Jack, we'll call him Jack, that I said, well, Jack, you know, would you ever want to just get together and read the Bible a little bit? And he said, yeah, I'd like to do that. So we started to get together and just, you know, when he had a break from work and I had a break from work, we just go and get together and started going through, I think it was the book of Philippians at that time, and we would just talk. And we talk about what God was saying. We talk about our lives and what was going on. And most of the time, I have found, and it was true in my relationship with Jack, that some of the most powerful things that I can do is share, as we share the word, is not then share application of my successes and how things have really gone well, but to actually sit and to share some of my failings. And during those months that we got together, I got a chance to talk with him a little bit about, we talked about marriage. And I got a chance to tell him about some of my mess ups. And there's a book full of them for me to pick from. And so it wasn't a hard thing to do. And so week after week we'd talk and we'd be together and I'd get a chance to just share my life with him as a broken ambassador, as a cracked pot. And we encouraged one another during those times. Well, one of the days when we were going to meet together, early in the day, Pam texted me and said, you know, I think Megan and Jack are, I just talked to Megan and they seem to really be having a hard time. I don't know exactly what's going on. Just wanted to give you a heads up so you could pray because I know you're getting together with Jack later today. So I prayed. I was at work. After work, I drove to our Starbucks where we would meet and we sat down to talk. And he came in, and I could just tell by his demeanor that he had the weight of the world on him. And he came in, he sat down, and as we began to talk, I said, well, what's going on? How are things? And he said, Doug, I want you to know that my pickup's out, or my SUV is out in the parking lot, and it's packed up with all my belongings, and I'm moving on. He's a broken man sitting across from me. And I can guarantee you that, and we talked and we related, and I didn't try to give him all the answers. I didn't try to give him, you know, a 3-point outline about how what he was doing was the most stupid thing in the world he could possibly do, even though I sat with him. I did encourage him. I did exhort him to consider staying. But I can guarantee you that the weight of my words, the power of my words, came out of my relationship with him that was built on stories of my own brokenness that gave me voice into his life. And so we spent a good hour and a half together, me just asking questions and listening and giving comments and talking. And at the end of the time, I said, "Jack, what are you going to do?" And he said, "Well, you've given me a lot to think about, but I just need to drive around." I'm sure there's no guys in the room that can relate to wanting to drive around. And he drove around, and he went home, and he stayed home, and they've continued to trust Jesus, even in the challenges, which actually have gotten turned up over the last year. Why? Not because of all the right answers, not because of any merit or competency, because of just another person broken with their own death story, their own pains, their own missteps that entered into another's world, and they could find hope because we have found hope that resides in Jesus Christ. So 4 principles on God's purposes through transformed kingdom citizens. 1 is we're broken ambassadors. It's only by God's mercy and grace that we can show up to the game. And that's enough. And we're sent to a blind world that desperately needs us, all of us in this room, to go out and to walk with people who are blind and have not yet found their way. And we do it as bondservants, doulosses, who have decided, "I'm on for life. Sign me on for life, Lord Jesus, my master, to be your slave for the sake of other people." And we're beacons of light. Beacons of light only because the light of Christ resides in us and shines through the cracks of our lives. And friends, that is who the navigators are. That is who the navigators are. The navigators really are people who know Christ and are wanting to experience his transforming and restoring and healing power that is available in the gospel. And that's us here. And I know from talking to all of us, that's our desire, to know Christ and to know the depth of the gospel. And navigators, we're people whose lives bring light before a lost and a blind world. And so now, as we get ready to move towards closure, let me just pray for you and send you out as navigators, as people who want to know and be transformed by the gospel, and people who are going to live as lights in a dark, broken, and blind world. Father, I pray for us here in this room that we would embrace all of the grace that is available to us in Jesus Christ and in the gospel, and that we would be people who minister out of the mercy of God into a broken world. Lord, I pray and I commission this group to be bondservants, slaves, people who would serve their neighbors and their friends, that their neighbors and their friends and the blind people around them would come to the light and their eyes would be opened because there's people around them that serve them and love them extravagantly, and they see that these same people love God with all their lives. And Lord, I pray and I commission us to be beacons of light. Not beacons of any light we can produce, Lord. We come before you and we say, let Lord, you alone are the light. And we ask you to fill us with that light. And you'd use our broken lives, even our missteps and our failings, to glorify yourself, to bring honor to yourself, to magnify yourself, Lord, and to restore and to redeem the world we live in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013. All rights reserved.